Hello to all my beautiful boon companions out there in the booniverse. As you may know if you listened to my last post, or should I say rant, I have experienced a great deal of problems trying to set up my new computer. So, in order to try and mitigate my frustration, I've been relaxing with a thoroughly enjoyable book. In fact, I am so enamored of this book that I thought I would share as much of it with you as I can fit into a 10-minute audio boo. Before I do that, however, I need to give you a bit of backstory. When I was 9 or 10 or so, the library of the Canadian National Institute for the Blind sent me, on tape, a copy of a book called Cap Sung Ferris by Canadian author Francis Duncan. I hadn't requested this book, but that's okay, because I loved it so much that I must have read it 4 or 5 times in a row. I'm sure my parents got sick of hearing it. My tape player was in my room, but I've no doubt they could still hear the voice issuing forth from my domain and could tell some of what it was saying. Well, eventually, I had to send the book back because my time was up and I didn't want to get in trouble with the library police. I mention that because I actually just finished, today, a novella by Stephen King called The Library Policeman. It's from his collection Four Past Midnight, which is another book I would heartily recommend, although it's obviously very different from the one from which I'm about to read to you now. So I had to send Cap Sung Ferris back, but I did request it 2 or so years later, and I loved it so much the second go-round as I had the first time. Well, I got thinking about a month ago about books that I'd enjoyed as a child, and this one came to mind, so I thought I'd try and find it again. Alas, the CNIB no longer has an audio copy. They've digitized a lot of their audiobooks, which are now available for patrons online. But I did find one in Braille. It's too bad they don't have an audio version because I really liked the narrator I had. But I'm happy to have the book at all. And actually, I do find holding a physical volume of Braille and reading Braille to be quite relaxing and de-stressing. This book is about 2 friends who are high school students. One of them is your average white Canadian girl. The other is of Korean origin and lives with Canadian parents who adopted her when she was a baby. She grows up until she's 12 or so, thinking of herself as a Canadian. But then at the beginning of the book, she's mistaken by a druggist for someone else because she's Oriental. And this makes her begin to wonder why she's so different and why people think she's unusual. So she ends up going on a quest of self-discovery and coming of age, trying to find out about her background, who she really is, and who her real parents were. I find that I'm enjoying this book just as much as an adult as I did as a child, possibly because I'm actually finding deeper meaning in it and encountering perspectives that I hadn't thought of before. But anyhow, that's enough rambling from me. Now I'll get to the actual book. I must apologize in advance, however, because this Braille is thermoform. And for those who know what thermoform is, well, you'll understand why I speak of it in such somber tones. Thermoform is noisy and scratchy and sticky and rather difficult to move one's hands over, so I'm very sorry for any trouble I may experience in reading this book. So this is an excerpt of Cap Sung Ferris by Francis Duncan, published in 1977, the year of my birth, by Burns & McKeekern Limited, Toronto, Canada. Chapter 1. A Thief and a Liar. I thought I told you never to come into this store again! I dropped the chocolate bar I was holding and whirled to see the druggist's hand tighten on Kim's shoulder. Well, didn't I? Didn't I? I don't think so, Kim whispered. He shook her. His fat red face was so full of anger that my stomach started to close up and ache. Oh-ho! Now you're a liar as well as a thief! Kim's face was white. She could barely speak. You must have the wrong person. I haven't done anything. She hasn't done anything, I tried to say, but my voice stuck in my throat and came out as a squeak. His eyes shifted to me. I recognize her. Now get out, both of you, or this time I will call the police. I tried to walk out of the store as though nothing had happened, but I could feel his beady, mad eyes drilling into my back. My stomach ached and my legs trembled. Kim banged me with her skate bag as I opened the door. I pulled her around the corner. I didn't do anything, she said, although of course I knew she hadn't. I only wanted a chocolate bar. Maybe I should go back and convince him. No way. Come on, forget it. I'm such a chicken, I wouldn't have gone back for $1 million. But I didn't do anything, she said again. I know. I should go back and convince him. She turned, but I grabbed her. You'll be late for your skating match. We started walking down the boulevard toward the Carisdale Arena. I scuffled through the maple and chestnut leaves that littered the sidewalk. But he said he recognized me, Mish. How? I shrugged. Maybe his daughter skates and he saw you at the arena. No. I know everyone who skates. I should have said, Mr. Dumb Druggist, you have accused an innocent person. I haven't been in your stupid store in months. Kim flipped her long black hair over her shoulders. I could get him for libel, couldn't I, Mish? You should ask your mother about libel. It's slander, I think. Libel's when it's written. But she was right. It was just the sort of case my mother, Kate, would love. Human rights and all. Now that my legs had stopped trembling and my stomach calmed down, I was wishing I'd said something, stood up for Kim. But it had been so sudden and unexpected. I wanted to go back and smash that man right in the middle of his fat red face. And we didn't even get our chocolate bars, Kim said, kicking a stone. How could he have recognized me? He thought you were someone else, probably. Kim stopped so suddenly that I bumped into her. Am I ever dumb? He recognized me because I'm Korean. Don't be stupid, I said. No, Mish, it's true. I stared at her. Her usually wide-open, friendly face had closed up and now looked wincy. Kim's just such a darned nice person. She's never moody and she never gossips. People always like her, even skating people, and that's saying something. Now she looked different, hurt. Kim started walking again. What's that line I heard on TV? All Orientals look the same? All us Orientals. Her voice was bitter. Some other girl, Chinese or Japanese, that's who he mistook me for. We all look the same. Of course you don't. You look like Barbara Kim Ferris. Oh, that's just because you know me, she said. And I thought, I can't really tell Japanese people from Chinese people from Korean just by looking. I felt awful. Yeah, but nobody else thinks of you as Korean. They all think of you as you. She gave me a funny look. All the kids are used to me, but I'm the only one. Ever since kindergarten, I've been the only different one in the class. But there was Billy Lee. He's in grade 7 now. And what's his name, that black boy? Harold. He was only here for a year. Well, there are more now we're in high school. There are kids who are Japanese and Indian and everything else. Come on, Mish, there aren't many. And Mom and Dad and the boys and my friends are, well, white. I'm the only one who's different. Well, folks, I'm afraid I have to stop there because I'm running out of time. But I hope somebody enjoyed that.